Well, there's absolutely no other way to start the week than the way we have this morning. How blessed we are that we can think on these things, that we've been given these things, and that we can come before God in worship. And we welcome those and thank those who are visiting with us today and joining us in this worship. It seems like over the years that my relationship with mirrors has deteriorated. For some reason, some years ago, Lori wanted to buy this large mirror for the bedroom that leans against the wall. And I'll just tell you, I use it this morning to tie my tie, but most of the time I get by that thing as fast as I can. We all do this in a mirror, don't we? That we'll stand in front of a mirror and we'll stand a certain way and we'll pose a certain way that we look really good. But occasionally you'll walk by a mirror and you get a glimpse of yourself where you're not really positioning yourself and you're like, uh-oh. Same thing with cameras. You know, we pose for a picture and we turn our best side and we brighten our face and things like that. But then occasionally somebody will snap a photo that's a candid and we're like, ugh, don't like that look. There's the way we want to appear and there's the way we really are. We wish to see Jesus as our focus this year. And we learn in the Gospels that when people encounter Jesus, they saw Jesus, but something else happened too. They came face to face with a view of themselves that they had not seen before. Our plan this year is to do two lessons a month, one on some incident, some deed of Jesus, and one on some attribute of Jesus. And we understand that sometimes those overlap. We see something about Jesus and some action that he took. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at an incident, but it reveals this great attribute of Christ. And this year's a little different because 2 weeks ago we did a lesson on one of the incidents. Today we're going to do a lesson on an attribute, but we're going to dive into deacons over the next 3 weeks. And then come back in March and do the two lessons per month. But today I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7 with me as we focus on the forgiveness of Christ. There's so many places we could go to look at the forgiveness of Christ. But it really is hard to beat the incident in Luke chapter 7 that shows us one beautiful act and one ugly attitude. Luke chapter 7. Starting in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. We know from even later statements that Jesus himself recognized this woman as a sinner and that she had a reputation as a sinner, which indicates that she was involved in a lifestyle at some point of a sinner. And she's uninvited. She learns that Jesus is eating at this Pharisee's house and she goes. As we'll see what he thinks of her, the host of this meal, she would not have been an invitee at all. But she wanted to get near the one who had been performing miracles, who had been teaching about the kingdom of God, and had been teaching about true righteousness. We don't know all the backstory here. Maybe she's already been exposed to a lot of Jesus' teaching, and maybe already his teaching has affected her life and changed her. We don't know about all of this. But we do know that her action indicated that she knew about Jesus, and she'd come to embrace to some degree that he was the answer to her sins, that she was embracing his identity as the Savior. And she's drawn to do something. And what she does is this act of humility and great service. In ancient Palestine, people commonly wore open face shoes, not our closed shoes like we wear. And it was a dry, dusty area, and people walked most places that they went. And so the feet got pretty gnarly. I worked as a shoe salesman for a little while in college in the mall. And you let some lady shop about 2 hours and then come in and try on a pair of shoes. I appreciated what can happen to feet. Okay, you slip those shoes off. I mean, feet can get really, really gnarly. They really can. And it's not pleasant to wash feet. And at the minimum, courtesy, when you would go to someone's house, they would provide water and maybe some cloths for you to wash your feet. And if they were really hospitable, they would either have a servant to wash your feet or they would get down and wash your feet. But Jesus didn't receive this treatment from the Pharisee. The Pharisee was interested in this Jesus as a teacher, evidently, as he indicates later, but he does not provide Jesus that courtesy. But this woman does, and more so. It's a very unusual way in which she approached Jesus to wash his feet. Jesus was reclined at the table. They didn't eat at tables with chairs. They ate on the ground. The tables were low. They would sit near or lean toward the table. So his feet were extended away. And she came up behind him. She brought, this was the plan, an alabaster flask of ointment. This would have been very precious and very expensive. She would most likely, according to what we know in archaeology, this would be self-contained, and she would have to break the vessel and pour the ointment out. She wanted to bring more than water to wash his feet. He deserved something greater, she thought. And then something spontaneous happened. She began to weep. And not just the ointment, but her tears dropped on his feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. This was no act. In every way, Jesus sees this woman as sincere, receives her so. This was a spontaneous response. She was broken about her sinfulness. She was moved that she could approach Jesus this way and do this for him. She was humbled at his feet because she saw him as the rescuer and the deliverer of her soul. And so she pours out this spontaneous devotion. She brought ointment, but she added the tears. Weeping, her tears dropped on his feet, and she, in a loving way, wiped them with her own hair. And she kissed his feet, showing devotion, showing affection. And she applied this very expensive, precious ointment very tenderly, because this was the man whose feet was carrying the good news of the kingdom, the news she desperately needed. This is such a powerful and beautiful moment, isn't it? And it's brought about because a broken sinner has found her Savior. I want you to look again at verse 38. And I want you to just look at it on your own and picture it. Yet hovering over this beautiful deed, and it may have been sensed in the room by some, if not all, was one ugly thought, and it was in the mind of the host. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. Before we're given the man's name, which is next, his name is Simon, he's just called the Pharisee, and that says a lot. We plan to, in an in-depth manner, look at Pharisees this Wednesday night in the class. But the Pharisees saw themselves as the holy of the holiest. They saw themselves as the standard of righteousness, that through their traditions that they had developed a path to God that favored them above all other people. That's how Simon saw himself. And society would have seen him that way, because generally the public saw the Pharisees as models of righteousness. And they would have seen this woman as the opposite of that. In a way, socially, they're on a spectrum here. Simon on one end of what is acceptable and respected and superior. And on the other end is this woman in her sinful lifestyle who was to be shamed and despised. And Simon's appalled. Certainly he would have been appalled that she would do this, but he's really appalled at Jesus, because he thought that Jesus should know this is a sinner, and why would he allow her to touch him and show him this affection? Because this woman was contaminated. Well, Simon was right in realizing that this woman had a polluted soul. But he was wrong in thinking that because of that, she shouldn't approach Jesus, and wrong in thinking that Jesus should not have accepted this. Because that's the whole reason why Jesus came. Verse 40. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. As he often does, Jesus uses a situation as a teaching moment. But he does not dedicate his time to teaching the sinful woman. He's going to teach Simon. That's who needs the lesson here. That's where he directs the message. In verse 41, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you've judged rightly. A debt of 500 denarii would have been insurmountable for the average person. The debt of 50 denarii was substantial. But one of 500, the average person couldn't pay that off. And Jesus gets Simon to see that human logic demands that if you have two people in debt and one has a huge debt to a lender, then the one who's been forgiven the greater debt is going to have more appreciation, even greater love for the lender who's forgiven the debt. It just makes sense, right? Jesus is telling the story to get Simon to look in the mirror. Verse 44. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, note that. He's talking to Simon, but looking at the woman. That's what happens when you're talking to someone and they look at an object, or they look at a space, or they look at a person. And you know they're talking to you, automatically your eyes are going to divert to that thing they're looking at. They're getting your attention. They're refocusing your attention elsewhere. He wants Simon to look at this woman. In verse 44, do you see this woman? Says Jesus. I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus does two things to get Simon to see himself. He first of all wants Simon to hear this parable and then to look at this woman. Yes, Simon is to learn something from this woman and also from the parable. For you see, the issue is not how many sins were committed by Simon or by the woman. Like all human beings, Simon was a sinner. And Christ is teaching here that quantitative details don't matter when it comes to sin. Either you have debt or you don't have debt. How you got to that debt is really of no consequence. It's whether you have debt or not. And besides that, though the parable has a person in it that has a large debt and a person who has a small debt, and Simon would perceive himself as having the small debt if he's thinking that Jesus is talking about me in this parable. As the episode plays out, it's clear that his perception was incorrect. That when it comes down to it, Simon is thinking he doesn't have a big debt, so he doesn't really owe the Lord, whom he really hasn't embraced yet, that much. When in actuality, even though he may have the small debt, the fact that he doesn't think he's got a debt and owes this kind of affection and reverence and humility before the Lord shows that he's in a lot worse shape than the woman is. It's Simon who needs to learn from her, not her from Simon. And Jesus recognized this woman as having many sins. He says that. But it's this woman that's manifesting the kind of heart that Jesus was looking for, and that is a broken heart over one's sins and a willingness to repent. And you know when that comes? That only comes when you see yourself for what you really are. When you fully and accurately see yourself. You see, Simon had been posing. He'd been turning a certain way and putting on a certain face. This woman was not posing. She was candid. And that pleased Jesus. And Jesus tells her that in her brokenness, two things. He says he forgave her and to go in peace. He says neither to Simon. Now, such a story like that, such an episode like that stands on its own. But I want to call your attention to what this teaches us about the forgiveness of Christ. There are some powerful aspects. First of all, forgiveness is Christ to give. He demonstrates that here. He's claiming that here. And the others at the table, in verse 49, say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? You see, this is not the case of one person wronging another. It's not like this woman had only offended and wronged Jesus and Jesus is personally forgiving her. No, this woman had a sinful way of life and Jesus is forgiving that. It's in general, all in any sin, that Jesus is forgiving here. And the Gospels proclaim that that is His prerogative as the Son of God, the Word of God, the Lord, the Master, the Messiah. God in flesh, walking on earth, had the prerogative to forgive. And here, deity on earth granted this human being forgiveness, and only deity can do that. And in verse 50, Jesus says to her, your faith has saved you. Understand the object of that faith, it was Christ. It's not like faith that if I do this, it'll work out. Faith in some kind of process or her ability to do something, or if I do this humble deed, I have faith that this will bring about my forgiveness. No, the faith is in Christ. It's in Him. Her faith in Him saved her. Regardless how much mastery she had of His identity, how nuanced her understanding was of His identity, she knew enough to know He's the forgiver. And only Jesus is the forgiver. We go through life and we struggle in relationships and there are ups and downs. There's only one that you got to make sure you make things right with, that you got to find His forgiveness, and that's Christ. And then after that, as much as you can, make things right with people. But first and foremost, it's got to be Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He can save you and forgive you from your sins? That's the most important thing to believe. And it's complete forgiveness too. It's not a partial thing. His forgiveness here is a demonstration of His authority as the Lord. But we have even more evidence of the power of His forgiveness, because on this side of the cross, we know that not only is He the Lord that can give someone forgiveness like He did the thief near Him on the cross, but the act of dying on the cross, according to the teachings of the New Testament, was the sacrifice of God of His precious Lamb, so that His blood, through our faith, can cleanse us of every and any sin. Do you know how the New Testament speaks of our sin in other places, like Colossians chapter 2, verse 14? It refers to our sin as debt. And you know how much debt we have when it comes to our sin? No matter how much sin you have, way more than you can ever pay off. Your money is no good in paying off your sins. There's only one thing that can erase that debt, that can cleanse you of your sins, that can bring forgiveness, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. But Christ can do that completely. And also, we understand here what's happening, that by the end of this episode, Simon and this woman are more clearly seen by anybody there, and they should be more clearly seen by themselves. Simon, by the end of this episode, is seeing himself differently. At least that's Jesus' intent. And this woman is able to see herself differently at the end of this episode. Do you see how it's when we seek the forgiveness of Christ that we really see ourselves accurately? Or you can almost reverse this point. It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's when we seek the forgiveness of Christ, we really see ourselves accurately, but also it's when we start to see ourselves accurately that we want the forgiveness of Christ and we seek it. She knew she was a sinner and she came to Jesus to save her. Simon was not seeing his debt. He was not seeing his sin. And Jesus, by pointing out his lack of honor and affection and service to him, says that that is a reflection that you're not aware of the debt that you owe. And the hosting Pharisee was forced to see himself in a new light. And it's when we see ourselves accurately that we see how much we need Christ. But when you see the power of Christ's forgiveness, you begin to see yourself more clearly. Have you confronted your need for forgiveness? And forgiveness in Christ? If not, you've not seen yourself fully and accurately. And we see here through this woman that receiving Christ's forgiveness is the only way forward into peace. I want you to think about how she entered this house and how she exited this house. This action of the woman and Jesus' assessment of her shows how much anguish she was in because of her sin, that she went to this length. Coming into Simon's house, a woman like that would not darken the door of a Pharisee's house. A Pharisee would not want a woman like that to come into their house. The Pharisees had all these traditions about eating with sinners and being around sinners, and that troubled them about Jesus. She knew the vibes he sent off, but she was determined to come in and see Jesus anyway. It shows that even though that would have been a nerve-wracking experience and one of which she had to overcome a lot of intimidation and she had to, you know, really push up her courage, she was determined to do it. And when she did it and Jesus received her and forgave her, he gave her peace. And she went in peace. She left that house in peace, and Simon was left behind not in peace, but grappling with what Jesus had told him. Jesus forgave her, he saved her, and now she had peace. Do you want to go in peace? It's only through Christ that that's found. And this beautiful, tender moment teaches that embracing the forgiveness of Christ requires a complete humbling of ourselves in extreme brokenness before him. This was her way of showing her need for Jesus. This was her way of showing that she honored Jesus, that she was subject to him. All her action shows one that is submitting to Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone could forgive her, and that's why she treats him as Lord and King and Master. She knew enough about Jesus to know he had what she needed, and only Jesus. Do you see how humbling that was for this woman? And it's the same for us. It's humbling to see your sins. It's humbling to admit to your sins. But there is no salvation from our sins unless we are humbled about them. And here's the irony of this incident. This was 20 centuries ago. And this incident has been translated from the Greek into Latin, into all kinds of languages over the years and over the centuries and over the continents. And here it sits in our hands today. And for the last 20 centuries, it's this woman that we admire. In her humble servitude. And we honor her. It's not the smug Pharisee, who at the time was the big chief, who society honored and looked up to. In time, that's not who's honored here. That's not who we admire. It's her. We see this woman, and that's who teaches us what we need to learn. And what she teaches us is that we all, in some way or the other, have to come to the feet of Jesus and break ourselves before him and pour ourselves out to him. Will you do that? It's like this. If you're willing to expose your ugliness to Jesus, your sinfulness, he'll bring out of that, he'll bloom out of that a peaceful beauty of a forgiven person. Sin has made us all ugly. It doesn't matter how we turn in the mirror, it doesn't matter what we may put on or spray on or paint on or decorate, how we may doctor the photo, the reality is sin has made us, everyone, ugly. Yet there's no more beautiful and peaceful state than to be forgiven. Forgiveness is everything. And it's only found in Christ. Only in Christ. Who will we be? More like Simon? Or more like this broken woman? Will you see Jesus? And when you look at Jesus, will you let him see you and do what you need to do? Brother Ray has one more song for us to sing. And we see all through the New Testament people coming to Christ in different times and circumstances, but the gospel call is open to anybody and everybody. And if you become convinced that Jesus is the Christ, and you want to be his follower and put him on in baptism today, then you can confess that faith. And if somehow this picture of this woman prompts you to change your heart and change your direction, then God bless you and you take the action you need to take. But let's see Jesus. Let's see him through this woman. And let's become that broken person so we can become beautiful. Let's stand and sing.